Chris kept on asking me if I was going to sing, and I really didn't know.
I had no clue whatsoever
until about 5 minutes ago.
Well, thanks a lot. I wouldn't have sung an extra song.
No, you're fine. You're fine.
Oh, I know I'm fine.
Man, oh man. We need to pray for you, Ezra. I gotta get all this ass out of the way.
If you pay for the subscription, you wouldn't have to get the ads
on. I will tell you about it. CC Winans is quickly became one of my favorites.
Yes.
And she has come up with a song that, and it was written by Steve
Porter.
Yes. And so Come Jesus Come. And I'm gonna attempt this. So yeah. It's not gonna be perfect.
It's tough.
So we're gonna I got it in the upper key so I can actually reach it.
This is gonna be you singing with the radio. So we should imagine you riding along in a car.
Yeah, that's really nothing.
All right, gotcha. Yeah, you got steering wheel up.
CC Wine is a company.
Yes, that's right. And I don't know if you're going to be able to hear it or not. But... All right, please play.
Sometimes I fall to my knees and pray, come Jesus, come. Let the day be today. Sometimes I feel like I'm gonna break, but I'm holding on to a hope that won't fade. So come, Jesus, come. We've been waiting so long for the day to return, to heal every hurt and right every wrong. We need you right now. Come and turn this around. Deep down I know this world isn't home. So come, Jesus, come. There'll be no war. There'll be no change when Jesus comes. Let the day be the day, and he'll come for the weak and the strong just the same, and we'll all be in the power of his name. So come, Jesus, come. We've been waiting so long for the day you return, to heal every hurt and right every wrong. We need you right now. Turn this around. Deep down I know this world isn't home. So come, Jesus, come. One day he'll come, and we'll see him face to to face. Come and lay it all down. Cause it might be day. The time is right now. There's no need to wait. Your path will be washed by the rivers of grace. So come, Jesus, come. We've been waiting so long for the day you return to heal every hurt and right every wrong. We need you right now. Come and turn. So deep down I know this world isn't home. Come, Jesus, come. Come, Jesus, come. Come, Jesus, come.
Amen.
That was good.
Hey. That was great.
Beautiful.
Yes. Now I got to read scripture through tears. So this morning with homecoming, we looked at Romans 12, 1 and 2, being a living sacrifice. And tonight, knowing that this is a revival time, like Chris said, revival is for the church. We need to be revived. There's a lot of things going on in this world that really needs us to be revived. Yes. And so, I through prayer, a lot of prayer, and like Chris said, the Holy Spirit has been running all through my brain and my mind and cleaning me out and tearing me up and flipping me over and setting me back up again. I mean, he's just been all over the place with me. So I'm going to come out with Isaiah 44:3.
Put your glasses
on. I need my glasses. Hang on.
Here, I need your Bible, Lord.
You're going to need my Bible, Lord?
Sure.
I'm glad that you're good for something.
Oh, cool.
It's pretty good.
I thought that was
good. We're going back over here.
That's for all the stuff that he's done over my entire life.
I was going to say, when you know it's justified, there's nothing you can say.
So if you got your Bible with you tonight, Isaiah 44:3. And this is what it says. I will pour out I will pour out water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessings on your descendants. And this is the word of God given by the Spirit of God.
Oh, y'all can do better.
Thank
you,
God.
So, I've been doing a lot of reading on revivals. And the Azusa Street Revival, the Hebrides Revival in Scotland, and I've been reading about the Welsh Revivals. I've been reading about all these other revivals, right up until the Asbury and the Asbury Outpouring. And the one thing that I learned in every one of these movements is that they're persistent in prayers. That every one of the movements has been birthed through prayer. I was so intrigued by William J. Seymour. He was a founding father of the Azusa Street Revival, and he was the son of a slave, and he had one bad eye, but he had the power of God in him, but the man was so persistent and so intentional about hearing a word from God. He wanted to hear directly from God. So what I read for him to do is that he found an apple crate and he would stick his hand in the apple crate. And his congregation did exactly what he just did. His congregation thought that he was weird, that he just fell off of the rock.
Dude, that's more than weird.
That's weird.
That's out there.
And he was out there as well. But he did it because he didn't want to be distracted. He didn't want to be distracted. He didn't want to fabricate nothing. He didn't want to do anything that the Holy Spirit didn't want him to do. And so he stuck his head in this box. And if he didn't hear a word from God, his head didn't come out of the box. But if he heard a word from God, he would take his head out of the box and he would start preaching. He did it because he didn't want, like I said, he didn't want to manufacture anything. He wanted it to be as authentic as possible. Evan Roberts from the Welch Revival, he was very known for going to a church and sitting for 2 and 3 hours at a time. Without saying a word. Until he heard from God, then he got up and started preaching. This prayer, I made it my prayer. Lord, pour out your water on the dry ground. And there was two women that prayed for the Hebrides revivals in Scotland. And they were well up in their 80s. They already seen God move at one time, but they wanted to see Him move in their hour. And so they would get on their faces there from night and day, and they would cry out to God, and they would pray over the scripture of Isaiah 44:3. They would meditate on it. And then I think it was 1953, somewhere on there. 1948, something like that. I can't remember now. There was a big move of God in the Hebrides. The Azusa Street Revival started on the back porch of a house on Berea Street. And the crowd grew so much that they had to find somewhere more. So that's where they got the 312 Azusa Street. They found the old tobacco barn.
It's from 49 to 53.
49 to 53. The upper deck of this tobacco barn. And it was nothing fancy. It was no walls, bare floors and everything. The pulpit area was a stack of crates with a blanket draped over it. And the upper deck was called the upper room, and people would go there and they would get miracles and signs and wonders, and they would hear a word from God. I have been sitting up every night up until about 1, 2, 3, 3 o'clock in the morning sometimes, and I'm crying out for God. Because I see the things that's happening. I see the things that's happening in churches. I see the things that's happening all around the world. And Facebook, God help it. If it wasn't trying to promote my ministry, I probably would get off of it.
No, you would never.
Probably not. But see it and I cry. My heart cries out for it. And then I was sitting on the porch in the church in Harleyville, South Carolina. And it was a abandoned church. I'm sitting there and I'm crying out and I literally start weeping. And then I'm going to say some language that will probably flip y'all out. I started speaking in tongues, praying in tongues. Then I started crying, I started weeping because God was showing me that the children of God is in trouble. They are like Israel before the dry bones. And one of my prayer sessions, God gave me the name for this revival called Shaking the Gates. It's time to shake the gates. It's time to rattle and roll. It's time to wake people up. Well, pour out the water. Pour out the water on our hearts. On the dry and dusty ground of our hearts, wake us up, God. Revive us again, like we just sang it. Revive us again. Do you believe it or not? Do you believe that Jesus Christ can revive you right now? Like I was saying this morning, you either believe in God or believe God, and there's a difference. As somebody, Chris just mentioned it a while ago, somebody's going to pick up a Bible, believe God, and they're going to be unstoppable for the kingdom of God. And then where the church is going to be. I love going into churches. I love doing what I'm doing. It's stress-free for the most part. But you know, the thing that really gets me when I enter into these churches, and I'm doing revivals and I'm preaching, people tend to sit still. It's kind of like preaching to a mural.
It's like preaching to a mural?
It's like preaching to an empty pews. And I kid and I say, it's kind of like people are saved and they are baptized in lemon juice. Because I get these scowls all the time and people looking at me and they don't know how to take me and all this stuff. But here's the thing, I don't want them to take me.
That's right. Don't need it.
I want them to take the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I was preaching in a church in Spartanburg. It was Brian Arendt's churches. Oh, yeah. And I was in one of the churches I was preaching, and I was greeting people as they were going out, and I had one woman come up to me and she went, I thought she done stepped a toe or something. And she said, you brought the Baptist out of me. I still don't know what that means. I have no clue what that means. And then I started thinking about it last year, and then it made me cry again because I don't want to bring out a denomination in this. If I bring out a denomination in you, there's something wrong.
Well, that'd be bad.
So let me tell you something. There's not a Methodist way. There's not a Baptist way. There's not a Lutheran way. There's not a Pentecostal way. There's no other way than Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
If you are born again, then you are a brother and sister of mine. I don't care what denomination you are. We got denominations that's fighting over stuff that shouldn't be debated on.
That's right.
And we are in more competition with them than we are with the devil. Pour out your water, God. Pour out your water. I want to drink it. I want to be drenched in it. Question is to you. I know you are, brother. I was in one church before before me and Kelly got married, and I went into her church, and she invited me to go to preach in 2011. So I went in there, and I fell to my knees because there was such a coldness. There was such a dead feeling inside the church. I don't want to say the name of the church. All you got to know is there was some deadness in the church. You remember me saying this morning that we were like whitewashed tombs. And then I came to preach, and it, like I said, it was like preaching to a mannequin. There was no life in the church. There was nothing there. Let me ask you a question. Why did you come to church? Why do you come to church if all you're going to do is sit here, listen to a 15-minute sermon, and walk out and watch a baseball game, football game? I know people right now that would get up and leave right now. Because I'm going to preach as long as the Holy Spirit wants me to preach. But those same people that would get up and leave, they would go to a football game and sit for 2 hours on a metal chair.
And holler out loud, yes. No air conditioning.
And there was no air conditioning.
Bathroom 100 yards away. We got one 20 feet away.
Yeah, that's right.
And they would sit in front of the TV and binge watch a TV show. But yet they can't come to church and sit for an hour. We need revival. We need our hearts stirred. I was listening to another preacher on Facebook Reels or TikTok, I can't remember now. But he was talking about the movement that's going across the United States now because of Charlie Kirk's death. God, I hope that's true, guys.
It never stops. It never burns out.
I follow Charlie Kirk. I liked him. I liked what he was doing. I liked what he was saying. But this movement, I want to know, and I'm afraid that we're going to have another 9/11, what is it? The day after 9/11, when people filled up the churches for 2 weeks and then they got up and left. See, the problem of it is we got a lot of people that stirred, but not enough people filled. Come, Jesus, come. We don't know when it's going to happen, guys. We don't know when Jesus Christ is going to come back. He can come back in the next 5 minutes, 5 seconds. I don't care about post-trib, mid-trib, or whatever. My friend Rick says that he's panning. It's all going to pan out in the end. If you know Jesus Christ, it's going to all pan out. My brother Scott said that he don't care if he's in a pup tent as long as he's inside the gate.
That's right.
Surrender. Repent. Hard words. It's hard words. word to live, and it's a hard word to concept. But like I was saying this morning when I said deny yourself, it's hard to deny yourself because we live in such a narcissistic society. People going, me all the time. And I want to always slap them across the face. I'm just being real. When you say in Jesus' name, no. Okay. I'm kind of backsliding a little bit.
I hereby slap you in Jesus' name. It's like a preacher's fantasy.
Yeah.
Not based in any reality.
How many times you wanted to do that?
Every time I open Facebook.
And then Jesus puts the ear back on Malchus.
Yeah, and, you know, I get where I write this scathing post, and then the Holy Spirit grabbed a hold of me and said, uh-huh. And then I had to rewrite it, but I had to rewrite it about 5-6 times. But I want to say what the human Matt wants to say, not what the Holy Spirit wants to say. Church, Walnut Grove. If I was to ask you, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? What would you say? Because it's easy to say that in here. It's easy to say that amongst friends and family. But what about if you walk out into the world? We got a lot of preachers, and I'm guilty. We have a lot of preachers that are speaking like the world, that the same world that we've been plucked out of.
Yeah, that's true.
I was watching a preacher while I go, and he was using foul language behind the pulpit.
Oh.
And that hurt my stomach. What's going on with our church? And when I say our church, I mean the universal church. What's going on, guys? So my challenge tonight is tonight, if we lay your head out, lay your head down on the pillow, pull out Isaiah 44:3, and just pray that prayer. Cry out to God for your church, for Walnut Grove, for Chris, for Joy, for the churches down the road. Pray for them. You know why I like Chick-fil-A a lot? No, it's really good. No, but I learned what they do. The CEOs, the big wigs of the company, every morning they get together before everybody comes through the door, and they pray. They pray for the people walking in. They pray for the people that's driving through the drive-thru, and they even pray for the other locations. What if the church was to do that? Pray for the people that's walking in. Pray for the people that's walking out. Pray for the universal church, your Baptist friend, your Lutheran friends. Whatever denomination is down the road, what if we just pray for them instead of being in competition? There's a lot of people that be in church hurt because stupid humans get in the way. I probably hurt some of myself. But the other challenge is this. Lay yourself on the altar. like this morning. Lay yourself on the altar. Be that living sacrifice. He says that's your good and perfect worship. That's the way we worship it, is by dying to ourselves. By denying ourselves and in this narcissistic world to being different. Because people don't know who Christians are anymore. Because they come in through the doors and they see the world in the doors. They see people backbiting and gossiping. They see people doing all kinds of stuff that's in the world, and we are supposed to be different. There's so many people that be in church because they don't know who Jesus is, because I don't think most of the church knows who Jesus is. Mm-hmm. Remember what I said this morning about the floating head? Mm-hmm. Those that didn't hear the story is I was reading this book. I'm done with it now. It's called Revival Hunger by James LeVay. And I'm going to skip through a bunch of stuff, but he had a guy that had a vision with the floating head, and it was Jesus. And the floating head was basically saying, I want my mind back. Jesus wants his body back. His bride. We are more like Bridezilla than we are Bride. We whine and we hit our pews and we complain to the pastor. We do everything else other than getting along and being unified. And we really need to be unified. And we can't be unified until we're unified with Him. Pour your water out, God. There's another verse in Ezekiel. Ezekiel 47 talks about the river of life. River of life is, it flows and hits every dead thing and brings it back to life. And we all know what that is. It's the Holy Spirit. So my prayer tonight when I leave out here, I'm scared to death, guys, that when I go into churches and I do revival meetings, I'm scared to death that when I leave, they're just going to go back to where they were. Because you remember what Peter and the boys did after Jesus died? They went fishing. They did exactly what they used to do. So let me ask you a question. When I leave out of here tomorrow night, or Tuesday, and everything is said and done, are you going to go back fishing? Are you going to go back being, I don't know. Who are you going to be? Who are you going to be? I pray every time I do these revivals, me and my wife, we normally tag team together. But one of the things that we pray for collectively when we get done is, Lord, I want transformation. I want my goal is when you walk out the door, there's something that's going to change. There's something that's going to break in your heart. Jonathan Rumi, and I'll finish out with this. He played Jesus on The Chosen. I love the show. And I was watching an interview with him, and the interviewer was asking him, if you could sit in front of Jesus right now, what would you ask him? Without missing a beat, he would say, did I do it right? Mm-hmm. How close did I get? Jesus, how close am I getting? go on this journey with me?
Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, make me whole.
Be real. Be blessed. And be disciples God can use on a daily basis. Jesus, and I love you, but Jesus loves you a whole lot more. He was beaten and tortured for all of us. And he's saying, do you love me? Amen.
Well, this is the activation part. This is what we've been trying to learn discipleship in Sunday evenings is the operation of the Holy Spirit in the gathered body. And so a moment when we actually have asked the Lord to come and reveal his plan, his purpose, and things, whatever, really. It's really kind of based on your availability. Not everybody's an adjustable wrench. Some people are 5/16. Some are 7/8. You know, some of us are a ratchet. But we're all tools that God can get his hands on and use in the way it's specifically appointed to do. So based on how God can get his hands on you tonight, this is the activation moment. So we want to invite the Holy Spirit to come. And I really want to ask you to say the names again, the ones that you've spoken out loud earlier, now say inwardly, and just hold that, but don't obsess on that. Let the Holy Spirit come to say words to you, to say pictures, show pictures, whatever. We're not going to get up and have show and tell time. We're not going to talk about this. This is simply, what do you do when you go home? Well, it ought to produce some kind of response, right? And this is the response. We'll take time, ask the Holy Spirit to come. He's in you now. This weird language, right? I mean, when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit came to live in you. He hadn't got a comb from anywhere. But our language is, come Holy Spirit. Basically, arise within you. Okay? Make yourself evident and known and speak to me what you want me to hear. So you...
That verse in Isaiah says he pours the water out on the thirsty. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the Beatitudes, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And if people are not thirsty, he can't pour it out. So I feel like we need to pray to be thirsty. Lord, make us thirsty. Make us hungry. You're hungry, Matt.
Yeah.
We need to be hungry and thirsty.
Some people are so dry, you can pour any amount of water on, it just run right off.
Yeah.
You know? If God pours water out of you, will it soak in? Will you be visibly wet, or will it shed off of you like you've been turtle waxed? And that's really the test. It really is. So, all right. So I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to come, do what he wants to do. Those of you who already know how to do this, it shouldn't be a problem. The rest, just open your mind to Jesus. You're not becoming blank. You're not doing some kind of Zen yoga, doo-dah, hoo-ah-hoo-ah. This is focusing on Jesus and then clear the decks and letting him say anything he wants to say or direct you. That's what you go home with. Not a lucky token or a thing to promise at any time. Go home with having received. Okay, so now, come Holy Spirit. This moment, we pray that you'll just, as we yield to you, the output, the product, the work product of this sermon, the name that we've mentioned, the names or situations that we now call before you in our heart, we speak them and we say no more. Come, Holy Spirit, and we receive words. We receive from you. We don't want your Spirit to drip off of us as if we were Teflon coated. Let the water soak in. We're not filling the spirit realm with words. This is how we wait on you. Take a few minutes now and let the Holy Spirit speak in any way. In images, pictures, words. Be a face. Otherwise, we'll see you tomorrow night. Okay, well, let's stand and sing the final hymn of 632.